The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Or number two, well, a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeart Radio, YouTube TV. I don't care how you're taking us in, I just appreciate that you are. Any which way, thank you for making us part of your morning. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. A numbers game where sports betting lives. By the way, I have done something terribly wrong. I have not promoted the most exciting part of today's show. College football guessing lines with Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Let's go.
Is that pumped? Why you wore the shirt? Is that what happened?
What?
Is that why you wore the shirt?
I don't really know what that means. This is really bothering you, isn't it?
It's not bothering me. It's just, it is, not only do you have a pronounced arm swing, but a pronounced projection from your chest, which is like about 3 feet away from me. It's not bothering me at all.
Oh, man.
So college football guessing lines with Kelly, which is always amusing. A segment that started because one day back at the South Point, you were like, wait, what's the line on that college football game right before a segment? And I was like, 14. And you said, minus or plus?
Yeah.
So we decided that would be amazing.
I will say that Wyatt did send me a school that I had to confirm what conference they were in. And it would have been a Power 5 conference last year. So I had to confirm that one.
We will also do NFL last winless and last undefeated. Why? Because my last winless in the Jets, excuse me, last undefeated in the Jets, pardon me, went down yesterday.
And my last winless at the Patriots went down this weekend. So time for us to relook at the board.
Well, the last undefeated handicap was always, this was the game they had to win. If they can win this game, then they're the driver's seat. By the way, Will Hill was the one who first brought it up, who we have now joining us. By the way, Paul Sporer also coming this hour. Will Hill joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He was the author of that Jets 15-1 last undefeated. So I give him full credit now. Now it sounds like I'm blaming him for it, but I'm not. The whole handicap was if they could win last night. And that didn't work out. And no Christian McCaffrey didn't matter, huh, Will?
Wow, what an introduction. First of all, you say guessing the lines is the most exciting segment. Then you throw this loss in my face. I mean, way to get me fired up for the segment. Jeez.
Sorry. My apologies. Bad host. Oh, what was it about Christian McCaffrey you wanted to say, Will?
Yeah, it's interesting because I have conflicting thoughts on this because, look, the NFL is partners with all these betting companies, and you should, if not, at least be honest. They used to call it the neighborhood play in baseball where the second baseman turned into double play. As long as he's in the neighborhood of second base, they give him a break. Like, I don't think you should out and out lie. And it sounds like, look, if you believe Mason, hey, I knew on Friday I was starting, which means they knew Friday McCaffrey wasn't playing. You shouldn't out and out lie. So I do think, hey, give him some wiggle room. If he's doubtful, you can, you know, say, hey, we're not sure. But to just out and out lie, I think he's wrong. That being said, like we had Lombardi on the morning line show, give us a great nugget. We have people like Fez, who's, as we know, is a great aggregator. We have other guys with sources, so it helps us as better. So it's kind of good that these coaches lie, and we can pick off gems like, you know, Mason over rushing yards or Mason to be the leading rusher in the game. So on one hand, I think it's wrong, and I wonder, I'm sure the league will probably sweep it under the rug because they don't like this stuff. They don't want to come down too hard on San Francisco because then people think, hey, when there's smoke, there's fire, and people already think they're getting screwed to begin with. But as better as if we, you know, if we have sources, if you have info, it's beneficial.
Okay, so I thought that was a messed up situation last night, but I don't want to encourage any teams to do this, but what is stopping teams from doing what Bill Belichick did for years?
Nothing.
Miami Heat do it, the Lakers do it with LeBron, and everybody's just questionable every single game.
Nothing. I mean, Bill Belichick was not going to get, you know, punished for it. Maybe someone else might now. But just to sort of, you know, clarify, Jordan Mason said, you know, he said right after the game, I knew Friday I was starting. Kyle Shanahan quickly denied that.
Yeah.
And then Jordan Mason, when asked about it in the post-game presser, was like, see, this is why I don't like doing these things.
Sure sounds like he got yelled at beforehand, right? Like, you said something wrong on TV.
Yeah.
And that's really, it sucks that we get to that point. But if I'm Shanahan, all I'm thinking about today is fine. Everybody's questionable going forward.
But to your point, because I mentioned this in the first segment too, Will, which is when Lombardi, was Michael Lombardi on the morning line, his son, who used to be the offensive coordinator here in Las Vegas, is now a special assistant offense there in San Francisco. You know, he might know a thing or two about that franchise. Moving forward, we should probably pay attention to Michael Lombardi on the morning line.
Yeah, maybe a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you about baseball first. We'll come back to week two in the NFL, and we'll do college football as well. But I want to ask you about this because we got more than one question about it. Paul Skeens, yesterday, 9 strikeouts over 6 innings. to win Monday, to win yesterday, to bring his strikeout total for the year to 151. That is a franchise record for a rookie. He's now 10-2 on the year, allowed one run on six hits, by the way, in the 3-2 win over the Marlins. His ERA now down to 2.10. Fastball hit 100 miles per hour six times. Just the fourth rookie to reach 150 strikeouts in 20 starts or fewer, joining Kerry Wood, Dwight Gooden, and Mark Pryor. Oh. And for those of us who have who've been around a long time, we know the hype that preceded those three guys. So the question will obviously becomes, is the National League Rookie of the Year race over or not?
I mean, it's been over a couple of times, right? It was over in favor of Skeens and it was over in favor of Merrill. To answer your question, no, I don't think it's over. I think if they had to vote today, and again, I'm getting inside the vote, the heads of these voters, who knows? I think they'd either, I think it'd be an extremely close vote where they like either tied or somebody won by a point or lost by a point. I think it was NFL Coach of the Year where Stefanski basically won, but because of tiebreakers, I think it would be almost like a dead heat. So if I think that the plus 380 on Skeens, it was plus 500 yesterday. It moved a little bit because of the game he pitched. Maybe he should have pitched. It should have moved more. I do think there's value on the plus 380. I do not think this is over. I hope Jason Weingarten is not listening. He will send me some angry messages, but I don't think it's over.
I you know, the one thing we said is when it was minus 1,000 on Merrill, I was like, there's no way it's that big of a difference. Yeah. It's going to be way closer than that. I think it is. You know, the other thing that happened yesterday, Austin Wells hits a go-ahead slam. Was it a slam or a three-run shot? I think it was a three-run shot.
A three-run shot, yeah. And another one after that, I think.
And so, American League Rookie of the Year, do you think he should be the favorite now?
Yes. I mean, I don't know that you're getting a great number at minus 110, but again, I think if they voted today, he'd probably win. And the fact that he's going to be in the spotlight here playing for, playing for the Yankees in a pennant race. I mean, I do think he's going to win. I just don't know if minus 110 is a great number. And I had Femi Benfica on my podcast late July. He was 100-1 and he gave him out. So it goes back to that. Ooh, was it Robbie Ray 3 years ago where, Cy Young at the All-Star break, 100-1. Keep it in mind for next year. You think these races are over in June, July, August, 100-1 for Austin Wells, really not that long ago. And now he's there's a minus price in front of him. I would have bet him at the minus price, but I do think he's, I think that line is correct. If I had to bet it, I'd bet Wells.
End of July is only 2/3 of the way through the season. You know, even though we have, but you have what's 2/3 of the season, over 100 games.
Sure.
Right. To just over 100 games to try to erase from your mind if things shift. All right.
With Rookie of the Year, where these guys don't come up right away. Or they don't play right away. Yeah. I mean, it's an even bigger sample.
Let's get to all your picks. Let's start with baseball today. What'd you land on baseball?
Not a lot. I do like Arizona. And it's interesting. I think this is a rematch of Game 5, the clincher of the World Series, Gallen versus Eovaldi, same location, which is it's just kind of funny how forgotten that World Series is. I did lay it with Arizona. And I think of all the futures prices, I mentioned Skeens, but Mets to miss the playoffs at plus 145. Those of us have Braves tickets. This might be a way to hedge it with a plus sign instead of laying the minus 170 with Atlanta to miss. I think you're probably getting a plus number on Atlanta. Either way, the Mets schedule the rest of the way. And I know the perils of looking at schedules in a short sample size. They have 13 games left with the Brewers, the Phillies, and the Braves. 10 of those are on the road. They only lead Atlanta by a game. If you're looking, I know Bears got, 25-1 on Atlanta to miss. I think you've got some good numbers.
Yeah.
I've got them 15-1. And I just think independent of all that, I think Mets at plus 145 with that remaining schedule. And you could say the Phillies, the Brewers, they've got the divisions wrapped. They're not going to be into these games. They're going to rest people. Maybe. I still think 10 of those 13 being on the road is a gauntlet of a schedule. And they've had a great season. They got off the mat. It's kind of a throwaway rebuild year. They've done a tremendous job to even be in the mix. I just think there is some value at the plus 145 to miss. And I think it's 2 weeks from tonight. We get Yankees and Orioles, best of three, starting that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Mets and Braves three-game series, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So 2 weeks from today, we're going to be in for some good pennant race baseball that final week of the season.
Love it. Mets, by the way, again, as Will said, one game lead over the Braves for that final playoff spot in the National League with the Mets winning last night and the Braves losing. College football, what did you play?
I'm going to fade Notre Dame again. I was on Northern Illinois. I just think Notre Dame is we probably don't need to spend too much time on the conversations of would they get in 11-1 and 10-2. I just don't think they're very good. They're inexperienced on the offensive line, and they just don't have much of a passing game. Riley Leonard got hit a million times last week. They haven't really gotten any big plays from the passing game. Getting 10 and a half with Purdue, I think that line will only come down. So I like Purdue. I think Purdue will be right in this game. I just don't know how Notre Dame pulls away from anyone with this offense. And I was so impressed with Tennessee. I know we were watching that game, and I think you were with Wishnev, and Wishnev had a bad beat, and we both did on the first half under on that field. But they are so impressive. They've got a quarterback, and they have a monster front four. 12-1 to win the SEC. I know Georgia's Georgia, and Texas look really good, but and maybe some of these books have a market make the SEC title game. Maybe that's a better way to go. But if you look at the schedule, it starts to look a little bit better than it did a few weeks ago, because they play at Oklahoma for one of their tough games. Oklahoma looked absolutely awful the other day, life and death against Houston. They play Bama, but that game's in Tennessee. They do have to go to at Georgia, but you can probably afford a loss here. So Tennessee 12-1 to win the SEC. Maybe if you can find like a 3 or 4 to 1 to make the SEC title game, that's a better way to play it. But I think they're a sleeper. I think they're extremely dangerous with the quarterback, the coach, and the defensive front four.
I got some college football things to say on the other side as well, just sort of juxtapose against the NFL in a handicapping standpoint. All right, week two in the NFL in our last 30 seconds. Have you bet anything yet? Or what are you thinking about betting?
Browns plus the points and Packers plus the points. I don't think it'll be Malik Willis. I think it'll be Tannehill for the Packers.
You do?
Oh, I do.
Is this some inside information, sir? No.
No, but you can't play that kid. Can you really play Malik Willis? I've seen Malik Willis play. That's my inside information.
Yeah.
That's half the handicap to my bet. You can't play that kid. I don't know how you're going to play that kid.
You can't possibly play that kid.
I heard Chernoff was talking about it too. He brought up Tannehill. He only had a 3-point drop between those two. That surprised you guys at all?
Between?
But Tannehill and Love.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. No concerns about the Browns, Will, or some concerns, even though you're playing?
I just think this is typical NFL. Everyone kicks dirt on them, and they play better the following week.
No team is as bad as they look one week, or as good as they look one week, from one week to the next. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it. College football thoughts and last winless and last undefeated next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. So many tweets. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Where do I begin, Kelly? Where do I begin?
I'm distracted by a graphic off screen. What is the, did you know what the Purdue Stadium is called?
No, I did not.
Ross Aid Stadium?
I did not know that.
Okay. Learning things every day.
This is from Steve Bilo. He says, Gil, I hate the Bills, Alexander, but I still love the show, he says. I do not hate the Bills. Just because I think Miami should be a 3-point favorite or more.
If we've made anything clear this summer, it is my overwhelming love for Josh Allen. I can't get there on that side this week.
Let's see here.
Did you crush the Bills any more than just saying you liked the Dolphins this week?
No, not at all. The Milk Gallon, thank you for the forgot to make my pick segment yesterday. That's why I play in one fantasy league, make one survivor entry, and play in one pick'em league. Got stuff to do. He didn't say stuff. And other things on my mind. I'm amazed at the people that do 10 of each. How do you have a life? This was in response to, because yesterday I was saying I was surprised by how many people, not only on this network, but others, talk about how they're so surprised that 46 people didn't get in their $1,000 Circus Survivor entries in week one. And I'm not surprised, because people have lives. And I do think we're way too close to the sun as people who are so like immersed in betting, that it is very possible that some people bought an entry 2 months ago and then, you know, life happens. They got kids. 46 isn't that many.
Their priorities are just way out of whack. You know? Like married, children, like what are you doing? Come on. Obviously, priorities in life should be your sports betting contests, okay?
Let's see. This is from, Jason H11, Thunder from Down Under's newest headliner, Kelly the Ginger Ninja.
Yeah.
There you go with this.
No, I'm just going. I'm going outside to, what do they got? The Chippendales guys out there, right? You ever been to Thunder Down Under? I've been there once. I got pulled into that show once, yeah.
Sure you did.
Sure you did.
Pulled in.
That's the one in New York, right?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. I've been to that.
The Better Life. Tim Lawson, if there's one thing I've learned about betting the NFL, it's that I'm not very good at it. Russell Ambrose, one of the best, Cleve TA, had a great tweet regarding Rodgers before the game, and the Achilles helped influence me to the Niners side. Although I bet it -4, and Schefter drops the CMC news at 11 minutes afterwards. As someone who has ruptured two Achilles, I don't think it's going to be an issue moving forward for either of these two quarterbacks. I don't. The reason, if the teams falter, it won't be because of that. This is from, let's see, Kenneth at 913. As a Saints fan from Fresno and the first one to talk trash on Carr, I don't think enough of being talked about his performance Sunday. Even though it was against the Panthers, Carr was throwing deep, scrambling, and looking like a new quarterback.
Okay.
All right. Jason H. 11.
Nothing he said there is wrong.
But it's still against the Panthers. Jason H. 11. Last night, Joe Buck waxed poetic about the dynamic kickoff, and they showed the landing zone. And then the opening kickoff is blasted out of the end zone, and he transitions right into, and it's a touchback. Trip Tepper. The NFL propaganda machine labeling the new kickoff as dynamic is peak gaslighting. This is akin to the soccer TV analysts telling us a 1-0 or 1-0 snoozer is a spectacular display of sport.
I can't remember which it was in the NBA, but I felt like it happened with the NBA last year with like the in-season tournament too, where it was like either the NBA Cup or the in-season term, they weren't calling it that before the season. Then we rolled into the season. It was like all of a sudden.
Remember the whole hip drop tackle thing? We haven't heard about that yet.
Was there not a single call week one in that? I believe there was not a single one.
I don't even remember them being in the preseason at all. Los Vegas 514, yo, Mark Mosley and Chip Blowmiller, love it. Was waiting for a Sean Sweesum and Max Zadejas mention, classic kickers. Rick Olier, hey guys, I'm sitting here at the D playing Sigma Derby, and Coach Pierce just walked in punching his fist together saying, "Where's Gil?" over and over. Just a heads up. You're not kidding.
Michael, be waiting by your mailbox later.
Michael Burns, could teams be figuring out the Dolphins offense this year with plenty of tape now and another offseason? I'm keeping my eye on this.
That a couple times during the offseason. I don't know. I'm not going to do that dance yet. I think Mike McDaniel is that good and that smart.
Perfectly reasonable.
But there could absolutely be some of that.
Cheap prop bets. Was thinking about the Commanders for Survivor, but the last segment with Drew threw cold water on the idea. And D-Gen Southern Gent. I enjoyed hearing Will Capper wax poetic about the low-key pains of NFL Red Zone on his podcast. I'll add to it, when they show a touchdown replay for a player, you bet anytime touchdown, but you know that they're showing it only because it was called back.
There's a flag coming.
And then finally, before we get to some other stuff, Buddhist Man, he has Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock. He has put lyrics to your chest hair. Ladies love him. Girls adore him. And then he keeps going on with that. Okay, with a plunging neckline. He continues with that. We'll get to more of your tweets here coming up. I want to say this, Joe, quickly about, again, college football versus pro football. And I know we have hours of content, not only on this show, but on the network to fill. And so we're going to talk about every single NFL game and our thoughts. And we're gonna talk about it, you know, every which way that we can. But the truth is, when we come to live betting, which is what a lot of us actually do on Saturdays with college football, on Sundays with the NFL. I just want to say this again as a PSA, which we've said a number of times, but haven't in a while on this show. There is no similarity between them at all, and that college football will always remain the best in-game betting vehicle there is, because games reveal themselves quicker than they do in any other sport. You bet the NFL is Plinko. It is largely Plinko. And I get it. There's going to be some games that aren't, but a huge percentage of the games are Plinko, meaning the tribute to the old Price is Right game, where the silver disc or chip, you know, bounces from rung to rung and then quickly goes in and lands in a slot. And based on your ATS, based on the spread, it's going to just end up there at the end based on one player or another. But college football, I was hanging out with Todd Wishnev, Jeff Barlay joined us at one point, Chrissy, Jimmy, and Vinny were there too. We're watching college football all day on Saturday. And again, you just take a Texas-Michigan game, and you can, if you know nothing about both teams, either team, nothing, and you just watch a few drives. It's not going to happen in every college football game, but in so many of them, in a way that it doesn't happen in the NFL, you could just tell. It's like, oh, Texas is going to run this team off the field. They're men against boys. And no problem with Michigan. You won a national championship. You went 15-0. You had it. Maybe it was not going to work out this year. Texas just looked so much better than it was so apparent. You could keep pounding Texas in that game and get away with it. You can never do that in the NFL. College football also. One of the things that has been very clear, you know, if you are a former NFL coach like a Bill O'Brien with Boston College, like a Jim Mora Jr. at UConn, who both coach, both O'Brien and Mora Jr. coaching in the NFL, if you're way up on an opponent, you tend to call off the dogs in the second half. You tend to actually do the NFL equivalent of kneeling on it at the end of a game. So many of these college coaches who have never coached in the NFL are this, you know, this machismo college coach. If you want to stop us, you better do it on the field kind of thing. We're going to run up the score. That's a college football coach. And, you know, like Lane Kiffin has no compunction scoring as many points as humanly possible. So there's all these college football things that are so much cleaner in terms of a handicap. Whereas, again, the NFL, by and large, you can't get away with that. So, again, I just want to say that about sort of handicapping a PSA about college football versus the NFL. And the other thing I do want to point out, because I've heard about this all on sports talk or mainstream radio and even on this network as well, which is this notion that even Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois, that if they ran the table, by the way, they're not going to run the table. They still suck and it's not going to come to this. But I'm just saying the hypothetical that if they ran the table and ended up 11-1, that they were not going to get in the college football playoff. There are so many people who seem to think, oh, they'll definitely not get into the playoff because they lost to Northern Illinois. They will 100% get into the playoff if they go 11-1. This is like the dumbest thing that I keep hearing. They will 100% get into
it. Well, because also you would think the... Not only will the narrative change, but it likely would change on the field of the team looking better, right? But, like they look way better than they looked in week two when they lost that game.
And also it's Notre Dame. So everybody's going to bend over backwards. Yeah. Oh, it's Notre Dame because they get the benefit of any doubt always. Anyway, that bothered me as well. Last undefeated, last winless, which you had the Patriots for last winless. Yep. I couldn't advocate taking any other team. I had the Jets in a bet for last undefeated. That went by the wayside, but the whole handicap was they got to beat the Niners. It didn't happen, so that goes down. Now, Panthers 3-1, Broncos plus 450. This is for last winless. Panthers 3-1, Broncos plus 450, Titans plus 750. Do you have a bet here?
I don't have a bet.
A recommendation.
I think the Falcons schedule makes this interesting. Where you could take a piece of the Falcons.
Now you want to bet them last winless after you loved them all offseason.
Well, no, but hear me out. Yeah. You could take 20-1 right now and then revisit this market in a couple weeks because they've got a couple tough games upcoming.
Okay. Yeah, they have two coming up, but then it's
right. Yeah. So like, you give it a couple weeks. How many more teams then are still on this list? Odds are going to shift. That was the biggest thing that jumped out to me on this one.
What about last undefeated, where I always, when I talked about the Jets, I said if it wasn't for the Jets' strategy, by the way, where are the Giants on last winless? Why are they not up there on the board?
They were.
Okay. Whatever the Giants' number is, I think they should be the short shot. So I would actually advocate a Giants bet last
winless.
They
were second, right behind Panthers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And then last undefeated, I think the Lions at plus 650 are the play, given schedule. So I would, if you're asking me, I would go Giants last winless. I would go Lions last undefeated.
I wrote down Eagles before I went Lions. I think Texans is interesting too at 10-1. Man, I think that Texans team is good. I think they ran into a better Colts team than people realized last year.
Led by not the number one pick in the draft, CJ Stroud. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Oh my God, that's going to be so tough this year.
That's going to be fun.
Bryce Young going to make it through this season?
Who?
Bryce Young, you're going to make it through the season.
You mean not get benched?
Yeah.
No.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know what I haven't mentioned yet this week, Kelly?
What's that?
Our website.
Oh, that's a good spot to go to.
VSiN.com. Check it out. Nothing but the greatest information, best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there. And if you look at the front page, WNBA with Tyler Shoemaker. You know what we're sleeping on? Like, besides the NFL and college football and the baseball playoffs coming up, if Caitlin Clark makes a run in the WNBA playoffs, this place is going to go crazy.
Can I see? I think it's 100-1 they were at the Olympics break. Whew. And down to like 18 now.
Yeah, anything is possible. Greg Peterson on the Padres and Mariners today. JVT on College Football Week 3. Adam Burke as well on College Football. And what's Zach Cohen writing about? Heisman Trophy? He's got some thoughts updated there as well. It's all at vsin.com. Check it out. Paul Spore standing by. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Again, always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game, man. I mean it. You guys are awesome. Teasers and parlays. Enjoying the Survivor Talk this morning. With a decent chunk of the pool knocked out week one, does this adjust your Survivor strategy? Not really. It's 40%. There's no adjustment in strategy necessarily.
Good question, but too long of a season to go, right?
Hoops by Hoots. Hopefully Todd didn't listen to that segment with Drew. He won't ever stop interrupting you now. You know, by the way, I was sitting with Todd last night, and he was interrupting me nonstop. And so I decided to turn it on him, and like every sentence he started, I would just start interrupting him, like over and
is
over.
Is Todd out here?
Oh, yeah, he's out here till tomorrow. And I would just do it on purpose, and he was completely impervious to it, because he's like, yeah, no, an interrupter, an interrupter doesn't mind getting interrupted. He's like, a lot of times, it's so funny. We'll say random stuff on this show, just like sort of like thoughts. And it's always funny to see what lands on people.
Yeah.
The spot thing did. Colin Murphy. My favorite spot is the sushi spot. The opposition doesn't stand a chance in that spot. Matt Kryling, sushi spot. StatLogic Sports. Drew said no one for the Ravens was getting open downfield? Question mark. I always think the Ravens, you know, sort of flaw is a great wide receiving crew. So that I don't even know that stops them.
He was just talking more about the downfield passing game. Yeah. I get it to a degree. I mean, a lot of it was shorter stuff. Yeah. It was, you know, Zay Flowers underneath trying to get him in space, that sort of thing.
Last name in space. Last name Nash. My spot is weather spots and bettors taking bets 5 days in advance because of potential weather, as if the weather never changes.
Oh, that is. That is a good one.
Uncle Bush spot power rankings. One, the dynamic kickoff landing spot. Two, the spot between the wide receiver room and the quarterback room. And three, Gil's sushi spot. Sushi lives. Rules for society. I still don't understand the holiday implications when it comes to Survivor. Can you please explain? Nick, I'm glad you brought this up because it was a mistake by me to act like everyone's in Circa Survivor.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Circa Survivor, the one that we're in here at Circa, which is for over $14 million, has a quirk where Thanksgiving and Christmas, not sort of, you know, in the Christmas case, there's a game afterwards too. They act as their own weeks. But in the normal garden variety Survivor contest in your neighborhood, chances are they do not. They are just part of their exclusive of their specific weeks, their respective weeks. So thank you for asking that. Sorry about that. Brian M., my famous last words. I like Jacksonville this week for Survivor. Cool. Jacksonville. H3131. Gil is in the best spot, the sushi spot. And on and on. We'll get to the rest of them. Paul Sporer standing by. To talk some Major League Baseball with us from not an undisclosed location. He's in Austin, Texas. We'll disclose it. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Sporer. And look at him with the Longhorn shirt and his Tigers hat, representing, as they say.
You better believe
it. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I could have worn the Lions hat too and gotten double football, but I got the twofer there with Texas beating Michigan and then the Lions winning. My sister and brother-in-law actually went to both games, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
And the Tigers are playing some competitive ball right now too, so all's good here as we come down the stretch. I'm really excited. I don't really think the Tigers have a chance, but they keep scrapping. You keep piling up wins, and their fate is kind of in their hands too. You know, they've got games. They've got some easy games like this Colorado series. They got a White Sox series, but then they got games against teams that are good that they can, you know, get some ground. Obviously, beating Baltimore 4 out of 6 would be remarkably difficult. But if they pull something like that off, maybe the Tigers are in the playoffs. We'll see.
Boston, Detroit, and Seattle, a tantalizingly close 3 games behind Minnesota for the final playoff spot in the American League. Stranger things, Paulie. Stranger things. By the way, can we flash up? Do we have the September standings?
We do.
Detroit, where the Tigers were great in August. They were very close to the top in terms of the overall record for that month because we bet these monthly. This is September. Thank you, guys. The Mets currently lead at 7-1. Then you got the Phillies, Rangers, and Reds all at 6-2. Then it's the Guardians and Pirates. Tigers right behind them, though. They're the best of the 4-3s when you do tiebreakers. So what are they? They're in 7th place right now in terms of the best record early going in September. But 3 games back, Paul, would you bet them to make the playoffs or not?
Maybe for a little fun if you're a Tigers fan like me, knowing, you know, it's not your strongest ticket, but you're taking a little shot, a little quarter unit, half unit type vibe on your ball club. Because again, I still think push come to shove, it is a little bit too tough for them and they're going to come up short. The Tigers, you know, if they had Jackson Jobe coming up, he just got promoted, but it was to AAA because he's been slowed a little bit by injury. If they're bringing somebody like that, you know, I could probably be a little bit more excited. Maybe Casey Mize jumps up, right? Like he's a former number one overall. Maybe he really hits another gear down the stretch. So, because right now it's Scooble and kind of a cluster of interesting guys that they're getting some dynamic innings from. They've been running follower opener stuff quite a bit. The bullpen's been great. Tyler Holton's been a team savior. So the pieces are there to make a run, but they're still a long shot no matter what. They're going in this as a full-on David against the Goliaths of even the teams they're competing against. I think are better on paper, like Seattle specifically, maybe not Boston. Maybe they're kind of one-to-one with Boston when you really break it down.
Of those three teams that are three games behind the Twins, the Yes to make the playoffs, the Mariners are 6-1 to make it, and the Red Sox and the Tigers are both 9-1 to make it. And again, there's like 18-ish games left in the season. And I don't really buy into the strength of schedule now at this point, but if you did, it is Detroit that has the easiest of the bunch, right, with a 462 aggregate win percentage of their remaining opponents. They got three against the White Sox. They got three against the Rockies. They got three against the Rays. Really, the hardest games are against the Orioles and the Royals left.
And then three in KC. Yeah. So it is like, you know, the tough, really tough end and then the really easy end, because they do have six in a row at KC and Baltimore all on the road there, and nine in a row, including three against Baltimore from the September 13th to September 22nd. That's going to decide when the Tigers get in or not. Right. Pretty much. If they can't do well there and go over 500 in those nine games against Baltimore six times and KC three times, I don't think they stand a shot. But if they somehow come out of that looking at like 6-3 with the Tampa Bay Chicago for six at home, you better believe I'm going to be over the moon excited thinking that the Tigers have a real shot.
Yeah, this is the interesting thing about baseball betting. And I am, just full disclosure, I am not betting it. But here we are, September 10th. We have less than 3 weeks left in the season. And a 9-1 is out there on a team with an easy schedule that is only three games back. Like it could happen, sort of thing.
Right.
DFS today, what did you land on?
So it is a kind of an interesting board today. As I'm looking to pull it up here, I got a billion tabs open, Gil. It's only 10:30, and I've already got a billion tabs. So let me get to my stuff here. Oh yeah, so there are some there's definitely some risks on the board in terms of who you want to go with outside of like Imanaga, Raylo, and Lopez. If you're going high end, you know, you got somebody like Kirby who's been sputtering of late and facing San Diego. That's tough. I did like Alex Cobb when he was slated in against the White Sox. It's Ben Lively now. It's anybody against the White Sox. So I would certainly still have some interest, some interesting pitching gambles. If you want to look at like an Osvaldo Beto at Houston, I don't think many people are going to be on that for good reason. There is risk, but Osvaldo Beto has been pitching very well and Oakland's had some competent offense. So you might catch the win there too. And that's so important in DFS, is to get the pitcher win. And that's why sometimes it is hard to take those gamble pitchers. But I do think like Cutter Crawford against Baltimore, similar situation. Aaron Civale has been pitching better of late. And then as far as where you're finding the offense from, Gil, Marcus Stroman has a 142 whip this year. That is horrendous.
That is not good.
KC could be living on the bases tonight in the Bronx. Of course, like I said, anything against the White Sox right now. So your Cleveland Guardians are looking good. I think Cincinnati creates some interesting opportunities against Andre Pallante and his 136 whip. Another big whip is Hayden Birdsong for your Giants with a 150, and he gets Milwaukee. So I think a lot of Brewers should be in the offing. And then with the Tigers, we just talked about them. They got Colorado coming to visit. Bradley Blaylock doesn't exactly scare me. And the Tigers' offense has been youth-infused to be a lot more competent. So you're looking at your Riley Greens, your Kerry Carpenters, Colt Keith, Spencer Torkelson's been pretty good. But don't discount youngsters like Jace Young, Trey Sweeney coming up and making some contributions. And, of course, Parker Meadows with that amazing grand slam in San Diego. He's been dialed in now for a while.
Those are not cool whips, I will tell you that. All right, Paul Spohr, last 30 seconds. If you had a vote right now, and I'll give you the odds too, by the way. Austin Wells, American League Rookie of the Year. Austin Wells -110. Colton Cowser +110. Your vote would go to?
Wells.
Ooh, okay. And then National League Rookie of the Year. Jackson Merrill's -600. Paul Skeens, after his outing last night, is +380. I will ask you who you would vote for and then who you would bet on giving those odds. Who would you vote for?
I would vote for Merrill.
And who
but
would
I'll,
you?
But I'll
you,
take the dog now that Skeens is the dog. I was taking Merrill when he was the dog. I'm just running the dog here because I still think it's a 50-50 with the voters. I would vote Merrill. I still think it's a coin flip. So I'm taking the Skeens money now when I was taking the Merrill money when he was the dog. So I'm going to end up with both, but at good numbers.
Thank you, Paulie. Appreciate
take
it.
Take care.
Paul Spohr at Spohr on Twitter. College football guessing lines next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, after these shenanigans on The Numbers Game, stay tuned to VSiN for Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. I've been trying on adjectives, Stormy. The fabulous Stormy Bonatoni and former NFL player Jeff Schwartz at noon Eastern. Right after this show, then stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen starting at 2 p.m. Eastern, followed by Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 p.m. VSiN all day long. That's what it's all about. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Just so many today. Master of Puppets talking about Christmas games. My thought is, if I can make it to those games, more than likely could be a chop-in play, right? It could be, unless you have someone who doesn't want to chop. And again, what I like about your tweet is it just reminds me to say, the disclaimer is, I know it will sound arrogant to a lot of people who are like, wait, you're thinking about Christmas on week two? How ridiculous that you think you're going to be alive. You have to think about
yeah.
it. You, the object is to win, so you have to keep it in mind.
I actually think that's the, like, one of the best examples when you use the argument of what is Survivor really. Survivor to actually win. And if you're not thinking about winning this thing, it doesn't matter. What are we doing here? What, so you got to think about Christmas.
What are we doing? That's right. James Sott, I think it's crazy. I'm just as excited to listen to baseball talk and tennis talk thanks to you guys. NFL always, of course, but love all the talk now. Thank you, James. That means a lot to me.
Hey, thanks, James. I try to break down the baseball as well as I can every day for you guys. It's one of my priorities.
Kelly's big on baseball and tennis. He's big on that. Good friend Chillionaire. Good friend Chillionaire every day with the Austin Wells and Caps. He's all about he's all about Rookie of the Year, Austin Wells. Yes, we talked about his 3-run homer, and then he always ends by saying long shots.
You know what's funny? I hear that promo so much more now. It doesn't jump out to me like it does to other people.
It's called long shots. Chris Heath,
there's he just drops it in there subtly.
Chris Heath wondering if there's guessing lines walk up music. I thought he was so much more than a producer. We'll see if he's got his own guessing lines walk up music.
We do. It's exactly the same. The graphic just says Kelly instead of Gil.
See how he said that? He's like, graphics says Kelly instead of Gil. Ice Cold Gambler, I'm sure this is the last day he wears that shirt around you. Yeah, he can't wear the shirt. He just got to button it up.
Did you see my response, though? And I think you said something about this yesterday. We're like, okay, so for as long as Gil and I have ever done shows together, we've never been this close in proximity. That's right.
It's a little distant.
So it's like he's like seeing the pores in my face sort of thing. Like, we're that close, you know?
Or the hairs on his chest.
Or the hairs on my chest.
Xavier82, if you want a truly radical idea for this week's Survivor play, if you have more than one entry, take one on the Washington Commodores and one on the Giants. This saves you from using the Chiefs, Eagles, Texans, Cowboys, or Ravens while not using the Chargers. Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to, but no. Brandon Kyles, hearing you two strategize this early in Survivor for the holiday weeks makes me feel glad that I'm in a traditional pool. Play it safe with the Ravens and give it another week for the pick on teams to expose themselves. Yeah, that's why Circus Survivor is so hot.
I just think this week is really fascinating with that. Like, if you are falling in the camp of, like me, of I'm going to look to fade three specific teams, you don't really get an opportunity this week.
Chance Copperpot chimed back in. He goes, wait a second. Did I just hear Gil tell Kelly to button up his shirt?
thank you, Chance. I wasn't going to say, but thank you.
Does this look buttoned up or not? Matt Bowen, he says, oh, Uwe von Schaman just entered the chat. I don't know the other kicker that you mentioned there, Matt. JC. Niners rookie right guard Dominic Pooney, he says, is godsend. Completely changed the whole O-line for the Niners last night. Jamie Leyva, I can imagine Kelly walking around, arms to the side, and try not to be so chesty. I love this show. Don't get a complex Kelly. I prefer a confident Kelly with a pronounced arm swing, preferably with a falcon. Have a great day, gentlemen. And Roger Jones, now it all makes sense. Plunging neckline, waxing on about Taylor Fritz, and now thunder from down under. You go, Kelly Bidlin.
Yeah, hey, was Buddhist Man back at the beach in Mexico with the Hawks again? Or did you catch that last week, or over the weekend? Oh, he was sending us all the pictures again.
Yeah, I don't know if that was present day. I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, that's right. That's more what I was asking. I couldn't remember if those were saved or if that was present.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's what you've all been waiting for. College football guessing lines with Kelly Bidlin.
What you got, Wyatt? Ah, yeah, we're back for another season. Before Gil kills it because I'm getting too good at it. That's what happens.
Oh, is that what it is?
Did it become boring because I was sort of too close?
No, it didn't. No, it was because you used to do five of them. And
we
the,
did five.
And the joke gets a little weak at the fourth.
We. The Wyatt Tomchek always has the major influence here. Therefore, there's always a UNLV game because, you know, he went to UNLV.
Wyatt Tomchek about a second too late on that college guessing lines hit right there when we introduced it. It was like a second late.
Oh, is that Wyatt's fault?
Yeah, well, isn't it?
No. Oh.
I love a Wyatt Tomczyk. I'm just saying. All right. UNLV, because Wyatt, I don't know if you know this about Wyatt Tomczyk. He is the play-by-play broadcaster for the UNLV women's basketball team, and he does other UNLV sports as well.
I was going to say, what else? I don't think Wyatt's back
here. He does volleyball.
I was going to say, I think he does volleyball as well. I think you're right.
Yeah. There might be more.
Women's basketball for sure.
All right. UNLV at Kansas. UNLV at Kansas. This is Friday night at 7 Eastern.
UNLV. Not bad at football, Gil. That's what I learned in my research of this, okay?
That's right, not bad at all.
11-4 ATS their last 15, 7-0 ATS their last 7 on the road, 10-4 straight up in their last 14 going back to last season. Not a bad team. Kansas came into the season. I'm pretty sure they were ranked. Lost to Illinois 23-17 last week? Mm-hmm. That's ugly. Illinois not good at football last time I checked. This was tough. I think Kansas still has to be the favorite. Oh, revenge spot, by the way. Hashtag spots. Revenge spot.
Yeah.
These two played each other in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Got this note from Wyatt Tomczyk, where Story Bonatoni was on the sidelines for.
Oh.
Yeah, we're just bringing it all full circle. So I'm going to go.
Very, very thorough analysis.
I try to do my research for these. Yeah. I'm going Kansas laying 4. I think they still got to be the favorites. But watch out for those running Rebs this week with the upset. That's what my research tells me.
Apparently you've got value on UNLV because the number is, I want to say it's 7, right? Yes, 7 on the Jayhawks. So you've got value on UNLV.
Might be taking some points with UNLV. I like it.
Power
like
Rebels, it. According to Kelly.
All right, where do you want to go next?
I don't know.
Oregon versus Oregon State?
Sure. Oh, let's do that.
Oregon versus Oregon State.
Oregon versus Oregon State. Oregon at Oregon State.
Yeah.
Used to be a Pac-12 football game.
No, it used to be a Pac-12 football football game. Confirmed, Oregon has moved to the Big Ten. Oregon State, I had to double check on because I was like, wait, Gil, they didn't go to the Big Ten. I'm like, where did they go?
Wazoo
like,
and them got left behind.
I'm like, they're one of those teams that got left out, right? I was pretty sure about that. I was happy to confirm that I was correct. They have been left out. Okay, Oregon was supposed to be really good, right? Oregon State, though, they've been sneaky good, but DJU there for a while. A lot of that was behind him. Oregon, 17.5-point favorites against Boise last week, 1-3. Only a 10-point win over Idaho earlier. Got to be some concern for Oregon here. I think the spread, I'm going to guess preseason this was like 28. I'm going to go Oregon as a 17-point favorite in this game. They have to be knocked down a bit after these first 2 weeks.
That's a pretty solid guess right there.
17.5. Sorry.
You don't even know your own guesses.
I had 17 written down initially.
And the actual line is, look at this. Look at you.
There we go.
There you go.
All right, 16.5.
I would never cancel your segment for you being good at it, although it kind of loses its shtick, but yeah.
I wonder what nice job. I don't know what the look ahead line was on that game. I kind of want to know now. Have you watched much Oregon?
I have not.
I think I saw like one drive, but like just looking at those results, not ideal. Not great, Bob. All right, to the ACC we
go. By the way, Bob, speaking of Bob, Dr. Bob, our he was on fire. 5-0 this past week with his best bets.
Really?
2-0 on this show. Whew. All easy peasy, too.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I should have played.
Oh, Maryland at Virginia. Oh, this used to be a great ACC basketball game back in the day. It ain't that right here.
I got extremely frustrated that Wyatt gave me this one. I have no idea how far off I am. Maryland, I think they're supposed to be pretty good. Virginia 5-12 in their last 17 games. I don't know when Maryland got good, though. Had to be after Tua's brother left and all of our Heisman tickets on him. I'm going Maryland laying 8. I have no idea how close or far off I am on this one.
Whoa, there was no analysis given in this game?
As far as I went down with everything, I just threw it all out the window, Gil, and said Maryland has to be the favorite. I'm going over a touchdown.
Maryland -8 is Kelly's guess. The actual line is Maryland -2.5. So
okay.
So a lot of value on the Terps, according to Kelly.
Does Virginia still have that quarterback from last year? Did they have like a pretty good quarterback?
Who are you referring to?
Virginia. You don't know what I'm talking about. I got to look up the depth chart.
Do you remember our Talia Tagovailoa bet?
It was
by
a
the
great
way?
Run. For me, it was like an hour.
Still the greatest bet we've ever made on primetime action, which lasted a day and a half. We had him at long Heisman odds, and then he went out and threw three interceptions the first half.
Gil made such a compelling case for him. I didn't even bet him till because wasn't it a Thursday night like college Thursday football night, game?
Primetime action.
Gil gave such an impassioned case for it that I tailed along like an hour before kickoff.
Oh, sure. Blame me.
And then like the first play was like a pick six or something. It felt like
great moments in primetime action history. The greatest show that was ever canceled. 200-1 it was. And it went to like 2,000-1.5. bet accordingly. That has been College Football Guessing Lines with Kelly Bidelon. Nice job, Kelly. Well done.
Thank you.
Stormy is next with Jeff Schwartz. Enjoy. Good luck with Survivor. My biggest takeaway from this show is, good God, yeah. Week 2 in Survivor, my God. Especially if you have the circa Thanksgiving and Christmas quirks. Good luck with all your bets. We'll be back tomorrow right here. Stormy next at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.